or between the white-collar worker and the blue-collar worker. Once, during the reign of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, about three decades after the prophetic era, a very pious Muslim by the name of Muslim came into the court of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, who was the Khalifa at that time. When he came into the court of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he greeted Muawiyah radiallahu anhu by saying, "Assalamu alaykum, ayyuhal ajir." He said, "Assalamu alaykum to you." He's talking to the king. "O employee." So people in the court stood up and said, "Did you perhaps mean, Assalamu alaykum ayyuhal amir, that peace be you, to you, O amir?" He said, "No, I meant what I said. I meant what I said." And then he said, "Let me explain." He said, "This king is indeed a worker who is fulfilling a public trust, and Allah will reward him if he executes his work with justice, and Allah will hold him to account if he oppresses people under him." So there is no distinction between me and him. We are both accountable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first dimension between capital and labor, that there is no class distinction between the employer and the employee. The second aspect is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam established the bond of muwakhat, the bond of brotherhood between the employer and the employee. He said, "You are brothers." He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Your employees are your brothers whom Allah has placed in your care." So if a Muslim has another person under his care, he should feed him with the like of what he eats and clothe him with the like of what he wears. And you should not overburden them with what they cannot bear. And if you have to do so, then help them in their work. In other words, the second dimension, one is that there is no class distinction. Secondly, is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Regard your employee as your brother." Regard your employee as your brother, and you have certain obligations to your brother. Obligations, firstly, of equality, of compassion, that you would deal with with any other brother, of justice, of tolerance. So they are under you, but they're not below you. They are your brothers. This bond of muwakhat, this bond of brotherhood, actually mirrors the entire value system when we're talking of labor and capital. The third dimension is of benevolence, of compassion. And one very crucial aspect of benevolence is the salary that you pay your employee. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Allah has made it obligatory on the rich to meet the economic needs of the poor up to the extent of their absolute basic necessities. So if they are hungry, if you pay them below the market-related salary, if you pay them below a salary whereby they cannot meet their basic necessities. So he says if they are hungry or naked or involved in other financial difficulties, it will be merely because the rich are not doing the duty. The rich are not doing the duty. And one famous scholar says, if you go into any locality, and if you notice grinding poverty in that locality, if you notice people battling, it is because the rich are stealing from the poor. It is because the rich are stealing from the poor. And he said, and you know the hadith, where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, pay the laborer before his sweat dries. And this does not only refer to the time of payment. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, because of this hadith, was so careful that he would pay the laborer on a daily basis, not on a monthly basis. He says, because I have to pay before the sweat dries, I'll pay you on a daily basis. It doesn't mean you can't pay salary on a monthly basis, because that's your contractual agreement. But, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said that I'll be an opponent for three people on the day of Qiyamah. And one of those three are those who employ workers, take full work from them, but do not pay them their salaries. In other words, their market-related salaries. Salaries through which they could fulfill their basic human needs. So we need to be asking ourselves, do we pay a fair salary, especially to our domestics? Do we pay a fair salary? Are the hours of work that they give fair? Is the workload equitable that we expect of them? This is part, very much part of our value system as Muslims. In the originally in Islamic governments, there was a special post which was called the Muhtasib. The Muhtasib was either, an ethics officer or an ombudsman. And his function was to resolve salary disputes and ensure that people are paid a market-related salary. This was part of the governance system of within the Islamic State. And another important dimension when we're talking of labor and capital is that this cannot be a kind of mechanical relationship where you do work and someone pays for you. Our challenge is to view our employees as people rather than cogs in a machine. People who have feelings, people who get tired, people who have their own dreams and aspirations, people who yearn very much like we yearn, and therefore we need to treat them and bond with them beyond just the work for pay relationship. And how do we do that? One is we need to learn to share in their joys and their sorrows. We need to share in their joys and their sorrows outside the workplace. Because if they're not happy, they would not produce So it is in your interest to ensure that there is a holistic approach to the person that works for you. Not only in terms of salary, but the problems that he encounters outside the workplace, etc. The other is the need to appreciate and acknowledge the efforts of those that work for us. Regard them, just like any other human being who needs to feel validated, who needs to feel appreciated. An employee also needs to feel appreciated, acknowledged. And to demonstrate that, once Nabi Sallallahu, there was the narrator of the hadith, is not sure whether this was a male or a female, but he says there was a black, male or female, that was sweeping the masjid in Medina, cleaning the masjid. And after a few days, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not see this person. So he asked the Sahaba, where is this person? So they said, O Prophet of Allah, this person passed away a few days ago. And they felt that they did not want to trouble Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to read the janazah, etc. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, why did you not inform me? And what he did is he took the Sahaba, went to the grave of the deceased and performed the janazah, repeated the janazah there. But what did this do for those that were working, those that are regarded as somewhat lesser human beings in society? When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to the grave and repeated the janazah of someone who the Sahaba regarded not significant enough to be traveling, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This was the lesson he taught. And this is the lesson we should take. One aspect when it comes to the employer-employee relationship is racism, where we feel, or where people, racist, feel that it's okay to oppress, it is okay to undermine, it is okay to pay a salary that is not just, purely because these are lesser human beings. And we need to guard against that tendency. You know, when Shu'aib alayhi salatu was salam, the Nabi of Allah, when he told people, be careful of your financial dealings, they turned around and said, أَصَلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ أَن نَتْرُكَ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا أَوْ أَن نَفْعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءُ. Oh Shu'aib, you can understand religion, but does your religion extend to regulating our financial affairs and determine how we dispose of our income? Is it part of religion? Says that we won't accept. So if you talk about prayer, it's fine. But if you're talking about religion regulating our economic activity, that we can't accept. This is our wealth and we will do as we please. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of the value system in Islam, especially this relationship between capital and labor. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.